Good evening and welcome to the local news. Today is Friday, June 6th. I'm Jordan Pangelinan, reporting for KMUD. In tonight's news, police involved shooting at casino leaves one dead. The Mendocino County District Attorney's Office is investigating a law enforcement-related death, but no firearm was discharged. Ashley Seafood Humboldt Dockside Market begins June 7th. Open Horizons' first annual Fairy Festival starts tomorrow, June 7th. Southern Humboldt's oldest living veteran, George K. Mullins, 100, of Garberville, has returned to Europe in honor of the 81st anniversary of D-Day. And Bryceland Fire holds historic fire training in Garberville, Sunday, June 8th. Stay tuned, news on those stories and more coming right up. On June 5th, 2025, at approximately 4:20 p.m., 29-year-old Nicholas David Anderson, age 29, was fatally shot by a Humboldt County Sheriff's deputy near the Bear River Family Entertainment Center in Loletta. Anderson, who charged a deputy with a knife in a threatening manner, as a result, Anderson was struck in the chest by gunfire. The incident was witnessed by bystanders and captured on body cameras. Anderson was not a Humboldt County resident, and investigators are working to determine his purpose for being in the area. License plate recognition cameras showed his vehicle arrived from Simi Valley, California on June 3, 2025. Anderson also used an alias to receive medical treatment for a prior injury while in Humboldt County. The two deputies involved in the incident have been placed on routine paid leave pending the outcome of the investigation. A forensic autopsy is anticipated to occur in the coming days. This case is being investigated by the Humboldt County Critical Incident Response Team, led by the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office and District Attorney's Office. Anyone with information is urged to contact the Sheriff's Office at 707-445-7251 or the Sheriff's Office Crime Tip Line at 707-268-2539. This remains an active investigation. KMUD will report to you with more information as it comes. The Mendocino County District Attorney's Office is investigating a law enforcement-related death, this one involving the use of a taser and chemical spray, but no firearm was discharged. According to the Mendocino County Sheriff's Office, the incident occurred yesterday, Thursday, June 5th, at approximately 7 p.m., when the California Highway Patrol requested assistance near the 2000 block of Hurst-Willits Road in Willits, California. CPH had received a report of a hitchhiker who allegedly assaulted a motorist after being picked up. The assault was reportedly unprovoked and the driver was hospitalized with injuries. In a press release, MCSO stated, quote, "A Mendocino County Sheriff's deputy located a male adult walking in the middle of the roadway in the 1200 block of Hurst-Willits Road. The subject refused lawful commands, assumed a fighting stance, and lunged at the deputy. The deputy deployed de-escalation tactics and warned the subject that a taser would be used if he did not comply. When the subject fled into a nearby brush, he was pursued by additional sheriff's personnel." The release continued, stating that OC spray was deployed and the subject physically resisted arrest. He was ultimately tased during the attempt to place him in handcuffs. Officers from the Willits Police Department also responded and assisted in restraining the man. Once in custody, the subject became unresponsive. Deputies removed his restraints and began CPR, also administering Narcan. Emergency medical personnel arrived and continued life-saving efforts for approximately 30 minutes, but the man was pronounced dead at the scene. Because the man died while in law enforcement custody, the countywide fatal incident protocol was initiated. The Mendocino County District Attorney's Office is now leading the investigation. A coroner's inquiry is underway, and a post-mortem examination will determine the official cause and manner of death. The man has been identified as a 36-year-old male from Willits, but his name has not been released pending further investigation. Per policy, the two deputies involved have been placed on paid administrative leave. The sheriff's office added that investigations are also continuing into the alleged assault against the motorist who initially picked up the hitchhiker, end quote. KMUD News has reached out to the Mendocino County Sheriff's Office for additional information, but we have not yet received a response as of news time. Anyone with information is asked to contact the Mendocino County Sheriff's Office Communication Center at 707-463-4086 or leave an anonymous tip at 707-234-2100. Information will be forwarded to the Mendocino County District Attorney, which remains the lead investigative agency. KMUD News will continue to follow this story as new details are released. The North Coast Growers Association and Ashley Seafood are partnering to launch the Humboldt Dockside Market on Mattaquette Plaza in Eureka. The direct-to-consumer pop-up market will mimic the structure of a farmer's market. KMUD News spoke with Ashley Vellis, the coordinator for the Humboldt Dockside Market, as well as Ashley Seafood, to learn more about how this event came about.
Yeah, my name is Ashley Vellis. I am the owner of Ashley Seafood and with my husband, and we together are also owners of a commercial fishing vessel, the Aguero, out in Humboldt Bay. We started our business back in 2019 and basically since then have started brewing up this idea of a Humboldt Fisherman's Dockside Market. We started with our business through the farmers market. So they were huge supporters of the launch of our business. And the more and more I was around all of the farmers and going to our monthly meetings and quarterly meetings and different classes and support systems that North Coast Growers Association offered to their farmers, I was thinking, why aren't we doing this with our fishermen? So that's kind of where the idea started brewing with, how can we strengthen our food systems with this amazing support system that we already have? And because we have one of what I consider to be one of the best farmers markets, you know, throughout our county, within the state, I thought, and I worked with fishermen saying, well, what if we didn't have to reinvent the wheel? What if we could become a part of the North Coast Growers Association? And they were all on board for that. So it was a really great connection just with our backgrounds and relationships with the Growers Association.
Humboldt has three active fishing ports located in Shelter Cove, Trinidad, and Humboldt Bay. However, only on Woodley Island is where fishermen are legally allowed to sell their catch from their boat. Vellis explains to KMUD why this dockside market is beneficial to local fishermen and food sourcing.
In Humboldt County, we have three very active ports. We have Shelter Cove, Humboldt Bay, and Trinidad. Only in Woodley Island of Humboldt Bay can you sell off the boat. I think that Shelter Cove is, you know, a very unique scenario where, you know, boats are kind of dropped in via tractor and, you know, commercial fish has to be landed pretty quickly once it's removed off the boat. And then in Trinidad, there's not really any off the dock sales there. There's not much of a dock. They throw out their summer dock. And then in Eureka, there is kind of a barrier there where you can't sell directly off of the boat that the fish was caught on. Whereas like Woodley Island, they have it in their special ordinance that you can sell your fish direct to consumer. So yeah, we looked at a lot of these barriers and thought, well, you know, it's not just a Eureka issue. It's not just a Trinidad issue or a Shelter Cove issue. Like, how can we combine and support everybody and generate this like larger community support system for our fishers? And then also on Woodley Island, we have a lot of, we get really busy on the island during the summer months with a lot of sport vessels. So a lot of our fishermen don't leave their boats in their slips all the time. Some of them can be loaded up on trailers. So it was even becoming an issue for some of our new and younger and emerging fishermen to not even have a spot on Woodley Island to be able to sell their catch from. So that was actually an issue a couple of years ago, which generated more energy for making this become a thing.
The dockside market will be accepting EBT as well. Velis is working with NCGA to ensure the community is able to access food and also help keep resourcing local businesses.
By partnering with the North Coast Growers Association, it's just another key driver to make sure that our food is accessible to everybody in our county. And so, because it's so wonderful, it's packed with omega-3s, it's full of protein, and we want that to be a reachable for everybody.
Here is what to expect tomorrow from the Dockside Market.
We are currently working with approximately 15 different fishermen, and also we're working with some of our oyster farmers to bring a large variety of seafood into the market. It's launching June 7th. That's a Saturday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. You'll be able to come to the market and visit different fishermen's booths. And some of them will have whole fish and fillets. If there is a whole fish that you just really want to sink your teeth into, we'll have an on-site processing station that will be staffed by our market managers and coordinators and myself. And so we can process that fish up for you and teach you different ways to cook it. You can steak your fish, fillet your fish, or prep it whole for you. So you can take it home, cook it on your grill, or bake it in your oven. Whole. I find rockfish is the best that way. And just kind of ask questions. There's so many questions that people have about what's going on out in the water and how we actually fish sustainably. How do we know different methods of fishing, whether, what is considered hook and line and what's a trap fish, fishery, things like that. So we want our customers to feel educated in their fishing industry and feel comfortable about why it's okay to eat seafood and feel confident and comfortable to ask questions. So.
The opening ceremony starts tomorrow, June 7th at 10 a.m. and will continue every other Saturday from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Mattaquette Plaza in Eureka. For more information on the event, please visit at Humboldt Dockside Market on Instagram or Facebook, or visit kmud.org for information on NCGA's official website. Calling all fairies, elves, gnomes, and pixies. The Fairy Tale Festival is happening this weekend at the Southern Humboldt Community Park in Garberville. Open Horizons, a youth-centered nonprofit, is hosting this all-ages magical celebration, and everyone is invited Saturday, June 7th. For more, we spoke with the organizer, Stephanie Hancock.
I am the president of Open Horizons, a new nonprofit that we founded last year. We also do the Haunted Hoop, which we have had our 3 years under our belt for that. That's kind of what started the premise of Open Horizons, which what we're currently focusing on now is just bringing events and activities to the community that are family friendly, that kids can get involved in and not only help out with, but participate in.
As a mother of two living in a rural community, Hancock says she saw a need for more safe and fun spaces for local youth that inspired the creation of Open Horizons, a nonprofit focused on offering regular events where kids can get involved, explore, and play.
Absolutely. I've been here a little over a decade now, and the first thing I notice is that there's really not too much for the kids to do, and our goal is to get to a point where we can have things for them regularly that they can come and be together and have space to just be kids and be comfortable and be safe. And the great way that we're starting that is reaching out to these kids as we do these events and trying to get their involvement and engagement in that way.
This weekend's festival will feature mythical creatures, enhanced spectacles, and plenty of family-friendly fun at the Southern Humboldt Community Park.
Yes, so this will be our first year running the Fairy Tale Festival. We're thinking a fairy festival, Renaissance kind of vibe to it. This year, it'll be pretty simple, but we do have plenty of crafts and game areas for the kids. We're going to have a face painting bounce house. We'll have a jousting arena where the kids can come with their pool noodles to engage with each other, as well as a game booth. We're going to have an activity area where kids can decorate shields that we've made or fairy wands that we've made, as well as building themselves small little catapults. We have a few activities where they can dress up or watch story times. The library is coming out to do a few different story time activities as well. It should be a great day for the kids of the community.
But this magical gathering isn't just for children. As the sun sets and the little ones head home, the grown-ups are invited to stay and enjoy a 21 and over evening celebration.
Yes, so following our Fairy Tale Festival is our Fairy Tale Fantasy event, and that begins at 8 p.m. That will be a burlesque show, a variety show made up of fire dancers, burlesque dancers. We have a cool DJ that's going to be on and off throughout, and then as well as a few other small acts in between. That does start at 8 and should be about an hour long.
Proceeds from both events will support future youth activities and upcoming projects by Open Horizons. The All Ages Fairy Tale Festival takes place tomorrow from 1 to 7 p.m., with the 21 plus evening show starting at 8 p.m. Hancock encourages everyone to arrive in costume and embrace the magic.
So the Fairy Tale Festival is at the Southern Humboldt Community Park, and it is June 7th from 1 to 7 p.m. And then the Fairy Tale Fantasy will be 8 to 9 p.m. Same location.
To learn more, follow Open Horizons on Facebook.
Please come dressed. We are very excited to have everyone dress up. We ourselves will be dressing up. We are telling people to find inspiration from Renaissance or fairy. One of the things I like to tell people is Shrek. The movie is a great place to find inspiration. All the characters there are very different and varietied. So everyone can find something that they would love to show off, and we can't wait to see it.
The Southern Humboldt Wildland Fire Preparedness Drill will take place this Sunday, June 8th, at the community park off Sproul Creek Road near Garberville. K-Mud spoke to Camilo Stevenson, the public information officer for this training, and what it entails.
Across agencies, that's the key right there. You know, Southern Humboldt, we have a lot of volunteer fire departments and other agencies as well that are involved in the fire service, and including prescribed burning and cultural burning and other people that are involved in some way or another. And there's something called the RT-130, which is basically a requirement for wildland firefighters to be up to date. It's the last step of getting your red card to be certified for firefighting. And that's going to be the subject, wildland fire safety and practicing our skills, basically. You know, we have a lot of different agencies, as you said, and this year it's going to be bigger than most, actually probably bigger than we've ever had. We're expecting about 200 people. Of those, there are at least 140 volunteer firefighters, including 24 from a class that Riceland Fire was hosting with the Firefighter Type 2 Academy. So these are approximately 24 new firefighters. They're going to be coming to the RT-130 to kind of like do their final field day test and learn all the practices that they need to do. And then all the other seasoned firefighters also come together to practice the same skills and refresh. It's a refresher course for all of us to, polish off those skills for the peak fire season, which is obviously coming up. And we had a couple of fires we responded to today in the area. And this is it. This is the season.
This annual refresher training 130 includes incident command system operations, radio communication, fire line construction, progressive hose lays, and fire shelter deployment, Most importantly, it brings together diverse fire agencies and builds the working cohesion essential for effective emergency response in our region.
Yeah, there are all sorts of skills. We're going to have different modules. Trainings will be in four different modules all at once. We'll be rotating, and it's going to be a lot of fire engines. There's going to be a lot of apparatus there of all kinds. We're going to be doing progressive hose lays with water off of some of the fire engines. We're going to have crews doing handline with hand tools, Pulaskis, McLeod shovels. We are going to have the most important aspect is the entrapment avoidance, we call it. It's like you practice throwing your fire shelter and you get that reviewed by your peers and by instructors, and also review how to avoid having to use your fire shelter. And also we're going to be rolling a lot of hose. We're going to be practicing the incident command system on our communication radio, and we're going to be using communication equipment. So getting handy on the radios and understanding how to talk to each other in a very large and dynamic incident.
Stevenson explains how community awareness and involvement with these types of training helps prevent worse scenarios from occurring, and also a chance to get to know those who help attend these fires.
Well, just getting face-to-face, getting to know your neighbors, you know, you might be from Shelter Cove or Alder Point or somewhere in between, but when these fires happen, we end up responding together, and a lot of different departments have their own training, their own culture of preparedness and everything, and this is an opportunity for us to come together and work together, and that's just, you know, the best way to foster that cohesion that we need in these kind of emergencies that we respond to regionally.
This is one of the biggest fire training events to date. Around 150 participants, including over 100 local volunteer firefighters, are expected to be there.
It's getting to the, every year, it seems like, yeah, it gets, we're going to have, hopefully CAL FIRE will be available. You know, we never know what's going to happen at the last minute. We could have incidents that take certain resources away, but we do have hopes that we'll have a CAL FIRE helicopter and some coordination with the air operations with their department. And that's always pretty exciting. In the past, we've had bucket drops with, you know, CAL FIRE carrying water and the crews on the ground directing them to drop water in certain spots and practicing that communication. And yeah, it's definitely going to be a big one. And that's just, I guess, what it takes, you know, to be prepared these days.
Numerous fire apparatus from various agencies will be present, so expect significant traffic impacts in the area. George K. Mullins landed on Utah Beach during the Normandy invasion on June 6, 1944, and this week he spent the day at the Normandy American Cemetery in Colleville-sur-Mer, where he watched U.S. Air Force C-130s fly in formation to commemorate the historic day. But one of the most emotional moments of his visit came from a deeply personal reunion. Shared on his social media page, Mullins reconnected with a Frenchman who was orphaned as a child during the war and was cared for by his American troop. In quote, "I had an emotional reunion with Raymond Revol, who was orphaned at 8 years old by the Battle for Carentan and taken in by our unit as our mascot. We nicknamed him Baby Camp. He remembers us as his protectors. We looked after him until we had to move on," end quote, Mullins wrote. Revol, now 89, had recognized a photo of Mullins as a 19-year-old GI in an exhibit for the 80th anniversary of D-Day. A French newspaper, West France, published an article titled, in quote, "D-Day Orphan Hopes to See GI Again Who Helped Him," end quote, with help from the Best Defense Foundation, that hope became reality. In quote, "At 89, Raymond remembered me as the GI who took him under wing, and I, at 100, remember him as our young mascot," end quote. Mullins wrote, in quote, "Tears were shed, but they were tears of joy," end quote. To learn more about Mullins' experience, you can order a copy of his compelling and honest memoir titled Foxhole, which recounts his experiences during World War II, capturing both the horrors of battle and the bonds of brotherhood formed in wartime. On behalf of us at KMUD News, thank you for your service, George. The KMUD News Sports Report for June 5th. Ray Hamill brings us details of all of this week's big local sports stories.
But first up, the Arcata Tigers are NCS champions in baseball for the fourth time in eight postseasons after an exciting pitcher's duel in last weekend's Division 5 championship game. The Tigers welcomed Kennedy High School to Arcata for the deciding game and prevailed by the narrowest of margins, winning 1-0. Senior Ben Lukens was outstanding on the mound on the way to the victory, pitching 6 1/3 innings and not allowing any hits. Fellow senior Anthony Ebert came in for the final two outs and completed the no-hitter. In their four NCS playoff wins, the Arcata pitchers remarkably combined to give up just 6 hits while throwing 2 no-hitters. The section championship was the fourth all-time for longtime head coach Troy Gazzetti and the program, with all 4 coming in the past 8 postseasons. The victory also secured a place in this year's NorCal playoffs. The Tigers received a number 7 seed in the Division 4 bracket, but fell at the first hurdle, losing 9-8 in 10 innings at number 2 West Valley on Tuesday evening. In a back-and-forth and exciting showdown, the Tigers rallied from deficits of 4 and 2 runs and took an 8-6 lead in the top of the 7th. However, a resilient West Valley team scored twice in the bottom of the 7th to force extra innings before securing a dramatic win on a walk-off just 3 innings later. The loss officially brought the 2024-25 local high school sports year to an end. With that in mind, local fans will now turn their attention to the summer sports season, including the Humboldt Crabs, who began their 2025 season last weekend. The Crabs welcomed the Novato Knicks to the Arcata Ballpark for a 3-game season opening series and won all 3 games. A large crowd of more than 1,200 people showed up for opening night, and the team did not disappoint, winning 4-3 behind a strong pitching performance by former Eureka Logger Miles Standish. The Crabs followed that with another 4-3 win on Saturday night before completing the series sweep with a more dominating 17-7 victory on Sunday afternoon. The Crabs continued to roll on Wednesday night, taking care of business against the Humboldt Eagles American Legion team in the annual early summer matchup between the two local clubs. The younger Eagles, however, gave the more experienced Crabs players all they could handle for much of the game, and just 3 runs separated the two teams heading into the bottom of the 8th. But the Crabs would take control late and ran out to a 9-0 win to go to 4-0 on the young season. The Eagles were playing their season opener. The Crabs will be back in action this weekend when they host the Fresno A's in a 3-game series at the Arcata Ballpark. The series gets underway on Friday night at 7 p.m, followed by games on Saturday at 6:30 and on Sunday at 12:30. In other local baseball news, a busy summer of Little League tournament action got underway last week. The District 26 Junior League and Senior League Tournaments of Champions both took place at Bilotti Field in Eureka, with both championship games on Saturday. In the Junior League decider, the Eel River A's defeated the Southern Humboldt Giants 14-4, while McKinleyville's Evans Mechanical got the better of Eel River in the Senior League final, rallying from a 5-run deficit to win 8-5 in 8 innings. The local Little League action continues this weekend, with the Junior League All-Star Tournament getting underway in Fortuna on Saturday. Switching gears, it's been a busy and productive off-season for the College of the Redwoods women's basketball team. After taking over the program late in the off-season last summer, head coach Bree Nordren had just 7 players on hand for much of the 2024-25 season because of injuries. This year, however, Nordren has a roster of 15 players available to her going into the summer classes, including 11 new recruits. And most of those players will be expected to have an immediate impact with the team. Among the players committing their futures to Sior are Arcata seniors Addison Wingate, Malaya Jackson, Emerson Brownfield, and Kyan Pruder, as well as Fortuna's Callie Chittenden and Jorlin Villalvazo, and St. Bernard's Aaliyah Vigil, Maddie Costa, and Amaya Hare. At Fortuna High School, meanwhile, seniors Mariah Bravo and Jake Housewort were among the big winners at the recent annual Husky ESPYs. The outstanding duo were named Female and Male Athletes of the Year after big senior years for both. Bravo, who also took home the best female individual performance for her season in softball, was a five-sport standout for the Huskies during her high school career, also impressing in volleyball, soccer, basketball, and golf. Housewort, who will play football at Cal next year, was a standout for the Huskies in both football and basketball. Bravo's softball teammate Myra Hayes also took home a pair of awards, winning co-most inspirational female athlete and female breakthrough athlete. The Fortuna cheer team was named Team of the Year after winning a first ever NCS championship in the sport, while softball head coach Eric Helms was named Coach of the Year. And rounding out a busy week in local sports, the Cal Poly Humboldt women's rowing team fell just short in its bid for a fourth all-time national team championship. The Lumberjacks traveled to New Jersey to compete in the Nationals and placed second to Embry-Riddle in the Division II championships. The Jacks did take home a national title in the Varsity 4 division, capping a flawless season that saw them go undefeated against Division II opponents. And that's this week's KMUD News Sports Report. Until next time, I'm Ray Hamill with HumboldtSports.com.
That's all for tonight's broadcast. Thanks for listening. Thanks to our engineer, Michael McCaskill and Dennis Marr. KMUD News is online. You can find us on KMUD.org and now streaming on most podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, where you can download our stories and newscasts for offline listening during your rural commutes. You can also follow us on social media. If you have questions or suggestions, you can give us a call at 707-923-2605 or send an email to news@kmud. Reporting for KMUD, I'm Jordan Pangelinan.